Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
So glad you've tuned in today for this Thursday session of Abounding Grace. We're concluding our study today in John chapter 9 and looking at what happened with this blind man whom Jesus healed. There's so much here. It's difficult to go through this in just these four sessions and look at the great in great detail all that is really set before us about what our Lord is doing. Remember, he had healed this man. He had given a sermon illustration by putting mud on his eyes. And I said, You don't heal by putting mud. That's how you blind. And that was the very point that Jesus is making here. For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. The way that sight comes is when you go and wash. And he went to the pool and he washed, and Jesus healed him, teaching the great truth that the great problem, as this man's life illustrates, he was born blind from birth. The great problem is that we're all spiritually blind from conception, and that we have this need to be healed by Jesus Christ. That is put in contrast here to the religious community, the Jews, the Pharisees, who are raging against Jesus Christ, who are now going to receive his judgment because they think they see. Because they think they're fine. Remember what Jesus would say elsewhere. Those who are sick, you know, have need of a physician. Those who aren't sick don't see their need for a physician. I didn't come for those who think they're well. So this is a really powerful section here where Jesus is showing us this. Well, the Pharisees want to unsynagogue this man, and everything has to do with what he confesses, what he believes about Jesus Christ. And here they are attacking him about Jesus Christ. What is the conclusion that they've drawn? Well, they draw the conclusion that this man is a Sabbath breaker. He's a sinner. Therefore, there's no way he could have opened your eyes. After a series of goings back and forth here between the two, the man now loses his patience. And in a strange twist of boldness, he ridicules them. I already told you, and you do not listen. Now remember, that comes on the heels of something they had asked him. In verse 24, so they called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And the man says, "I already told you, and you did not listen." Listen to what he says. "Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples deep down? Is that what you want?" They begin to revile him. They heaped up reproaches on him. "We're Moses' disciples. As for this fellow, we don't know where he's from." At this point, it comes to a conclusion. Their reasoning was that only people who are from God could give sight. This man, Jesus, is a Sabbath breaker. No way he could have opened your eyes. I want you to think about his response in verse 30, which silences them. Notice the wisdom of God and the foolishness of men. "Why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he's from." In other words, you guys claim to have answers for everything. You guys have the law perfected. You're considered to be God's gift to men. The people view you as the spiritual authorities. No one dares question you. Yet he's opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the beginning, since the world began, it's been unheard of that anyone has opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Did you get that? It's an astonishing thing that you claim to have the answers for everything and can't figure this out. My eyes are open. You just said God does not hear sinners. But if someone is true and does his will, God hears him. When since the beginning of the world has anyone opened the eyes of the blind? If this man were a sinner, God wouldn't have listened to him. But here I am, healed. What does that say? If he were a sinner, not of God, he could have never done this. It's astonishing. You guys can't figure this out. You see, he just totally and completely defeated them in their own reasoning. A brand new Christian, once a beggar and blind, look at the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God hears the prayers of the righteous. He must have heard him because I'm healed. With nothing else, what happened? They yell back, "You were completely born in your sins, and you're teaching us? You're the one with the problem. How dare you instruct us when you are full of sin, born with it?" So where does this all end? The final thing you read from them to this man is that they cast him out. Better translated, they excommunicated him from the church. They drove him out of the communion altogether. What a sad tragedy. All because they were furious at grace, furious at the Son of God because of the blindness of their hearts. People like this are always running around trying to justify themselves. And they do it by beating everyone else over the head. And it's always with the law. How they're just not keeping the law the way it should be kept. You know what's the strange thing about it all? These people are never able to look at the plank in their own eyes and see just how far their own lives and ways drastically fall short of keeping the law of God. The beautiful thing in this passage, dear listener, is that after this man had been cast out, excommunicated, Jesus knew all this. Jesus comes and searches out this man. He knew fully well what had happened. He comes to him after he heard that they had done this to him. And finding him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of God?" He said, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" Do you cast yourself completely, dear listener, upon the Son of God? Who is he, you say? Jesus answers, "You've both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. This man is blessed to have Christ come to him and reveal himself." This is the whole truth, that Christ is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. His word comes and makes himself known. And as he comes, he gives us more of him. He strengthens and confirms in us the faith that he gave us when he opened our eyes. The most beautiful verse in this whole section is verse 38. "Then he said, Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. He worshiped Jesus Christ. This is belief. This is the beautiful response of a heart that's been given life, the eye of the heart being opened. And here it's pictured as bowing. That's worship. Bowing and glorifying the Son of God. Picture the scenes of John 8 and 9. On one side of Christ are those who have stones. They hate Jesus. They hate his message. They hate those who follow him. Jesus' back is turned to them. In front of Jesus is a man bowed down, eyes opened, worshiping the Son of God, believing. Can you get that mental picture? With that picture in mind, I want you to think of what Christ now says in verse 39. Verse 38 and verse 39. "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see." Here's one. "And that those who do see may be made blind." Those who do see may be made blind. Christ came with this authority, that those who walk in darkness without the light may come to the light and see, feeling the awful sorrows of their conditions from conception and given life. And those who are constantly walking around thinking they see, that they would be made blind. It's interesting what happens at this point. Some of the Pharisees heard this and in disdain asked, "Are we blind?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see.' Therefore, your sin remains." In other words, if you saw your condition and yearned for the Son of God to save you, you would have no sin. He would blot that out. He would cover you. He would justify you freely by his grace through the redemption that comes through his blood. He would do that for you. But since you go on in this awful presumption, since you go on hardening your heart, since you go on rejecting Jesus Christ in your life, since you go on living thinking that you don't need him, trusting in your own model life, your good works, your hard work, your own ingenuity, everything that you have, thinking you're like a well man who needs no physician, therefore, your sin remains. What a powerful thing. Are there any listeners today who've turned, maybe you've turned tuned into the radio and you don't believe in Jesus? You're just listening with curiosity. You see, Jesus is giving you a clear, clear call here. If you see your lost state, you understand the misery of this life. If you see your condition and you want to be delivered, Jesus can give you the eyes to see him. He can open up the spiritual blindness of your dead heart so that you would see him and live and have your sins atoned for and live a truly joy-filled and happy life. But if you listen and turn it off and continue to live in blindness and go through your life rejecting him, the judgment that falls upon you is that your sin, the full consequences of your sin, will remain, and you will be judged on that day. That's the message of the Gospels. Jesus Christ has ultimately come that there might be good news for you, though. You see, Jesus is saying, "Come to me. I'll give you water that washes away that spiritual blindness." You see, those who are in the darkness, I know what your life is like. Anger and rage against circumstance, against your neighbors, and against God himself. The Lord says, "Come to me, and I'll give you that life." Those who've come, you will be tried and you will be tested, just like this man was. You'll face much opposition being a Christian. People will get you to try to deny Jesus Christ. But always remember the perspective that the Bible gave for those who are delivered, that it calls, and those who have gone before you had. Remember what the psalmist said? "What can man do to me? In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid." So what's the call today? If you're thankful to the Lord, come. Worship. Join us for worship. Bow down before him. Praise him. Show him your thankfulness for what he's done for you. Worship the Son of God. Continue to serve him, faithfully testifying to the grace that you've received. Always thankful that it's the Lord Jesus Christ who came to seek and to save that which is lost. And if he has found you, then he has sought you out and he has given you the eyes to see. May you see him then today in all of his beauty, in all of his saving power, as he is indeed the Son of the living God. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible sincerely believed and faithfully taught. 10 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. on the Lord's days are the worship service times. Join us for worship. We'd love to have you. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.